A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Mitzia Samach Dalit, Baba Mitzia 64b, pagination is 128, starting from the third line, the new Mishnah. Hamalva es chaveru, a person who lent money to his friend. So the concern here in the entire perek is lest he take something in return, which would be understood as ribis, interest. He lends $1,000. He's supposed to get $1,000 back. That's fine. But if he were in some way to benefit additionally, like another $100 or some other benefit, we would have this concern that either it is interest or it looks like interest, etc. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us, Lo yodur b'chatzeiro chinom. He should not live in the borrower's courtyard for free. V'lo yiska mimenu b'pachos. He's not allowed to even rent it out from him at a discount. M'pnei shehu ribis, because that's an example of interest, where someone does a nicety to somebody else because they lent them money. Amar Rav Yosef bar Min Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, the Gemara tells us, Afa Pisha Amru, even though the rule is, Hador b'chatzer chaveru shalom idaito einot tzarech lahalos lo schar, if a person squatted, he lived in someone else's area without permission, after the fact, does he have to pay? Didn't cause any damage. There is such a concept that he would not have to pay. We have to know what the conditions and situations are. Is it a person who would normally pay for such a rental? Is it a person who normally would rent such a location? Was there any sort of loss at all? All this gets taken into account, but there's definitely such a concept that it is possible to be in someone else's area without their consent, and when you leave, you still don't have to pay them. It's not an intrinsic financial liability. Nevertheless, helveu v'dar b'chatzero, if you did lend money to him, and now you lived in his yard, tzarech la'alos lo schar, that's a totally different thing, and you would have to pay the rental fee. My kamash malon, what are you telling me? Tinyana, we already learned this. That was the Mishnah. Hamavas chaveru lo yodu b'chatzeru chinam. You're not allowed to live in someone else's yard for free. V'lo yisko mimenu b'pachos, and not at a discount. M'pnei shu ribis, because it's considered ribis. So we already know you're not allowed to do that. Imi masnisin, if it was from the Mishnah, the Gemara answers, Hava amina hani mili, I would think that that case is, b'chotzer d'kaima la'agra, it's a yard that was meant to be rented, v'gavra d'ovid l'meger, and the person living in it normally would pay a rental fee for what it is that he was using it for. If it was a residence, it would be a rental apartment. If he used it for business, if he used it to do stuffing of envelopes, if it's something that he normally would pay for the location, then we understand that it has financial value. Avochotza de lo kaima la agra vegava de lo ovid lemeger emalo. But I would think that if the location is not meant to be rented and the person squatting doesn't normally rent, it's not a rental type of use that he would have paid for, I would think you're allowed to do this benefit in the case of borrowers and lenders. Kamash Malon, we're coming to tell you between the Mishnah and the addendum commentary in the Gemara that that is also prohibited. Again, even though the area was not meant to be rented and the person wasn't using it in a way that he would normally be willing to pay rent, it was an extra location. If it's available, I'll take it. If it's not available, I won't take it. Kamash Malon, even in that case, it's a problem because of ribis, because it appears that you're getting a benefit due to the fact that you lent him the money. The Gemara, a few lines later, like one quarter of the way up on the page, tells us of another example of this, where there's a type of benefit that a person could theoretically get, but if he lent money to somebody, he should not take advantage of this benefit. Amazing case. Rav Yosef Bar Chama takif avdei de'inchi. Rav Yosef Bar Chama would grab the slaves of people while the slaves were idle, and he would make them work. The Gemara on the next staff is going to tell us, because it's good that they shouldn't sit around doing nothing. It's not healthy for them to sit around doing nothing. So he would get them to work. Whether it was on his own projects or it was on communal projects, and he obviously had the clout to impose this, he managed to get them to work to keep busy. And he would do this, demasik behu zuzi, v'advid behu avidata. Even on people who owed him money, he would go ahead and take their slaves when they were sitting around idly, and he would get them to work. Amale Rava Brei, Rava, his son, asked him, my taima avid marhochi, why does the master, meaning my father, my esteemed father, why do you do this? And the Gemara, skipping two lines, tells us, Omale, Ano ki hod Rav Daniel bar Rav Ketina Omar Rav severely. I hold like this statement that we have, the Omar, it was said, Hatokef avdo shal chaveiro v'osa b'malacha, if a person grabs the slave of his friend and gets him to do work, Potter, he does not have to pay reimbursement for the work that was done. De nichole de lo nistere avde, because the owner is pleased that the slave should not be idle. He didn't have any legitimate work for him, and to give him busy work is a whole discussion of its own, if you could do such a thing. But if you found legitimate work for the person to do, let's say the afternoon, there's nothing to do. So then to keep the person industrious in this slave master dynamic, you wouldn't have to pay for what you did, what you got from the slave, because the master actually considers it beneficial. Now, obviously, emotionally, intellectually, we got to get beyond the fact that slavery doesn't exist today, but this is the concept of an asset, the slave or the property, and it's okay to benefit from this asset belonging to somebody else because they don't lose anything. On the contrary, in this case, it was considered beneficial to keep the person industrious and don't have them slipping into this laziness. Nevertheless, there's a problem. And the problem is specifically if the owner of this asset owes you money. Amalei, Rava, his son, told him, Hani mili, that only would apply, hecha de lo masik bezuze, if the person doesn't owe you money. Mar, but the master, my esteemed father, came into masik bezuze, since there's money owed here, Mechzi kiribis. It looks like ribis. The Omer of Yosef bar Minyumi, and he quotes the Gemara that we saw, that if you're living in someone else's area, even in a case where you normally wouldn't have to pay, but in this case, you would have to pay because it looks like ribis. Omer lay, and his father told him, Hadribi, I retract. In other words, you're right, and I will not continue to benefit from someone else's asset if they owe me money. There is a discussion in Halacha Simen Kuf Samach Vav Aleph whether or not after he benefited is he supposed to pay for this benefit? Or it's only a concept that as you walk into this transaction, you're supposed to set it up that you pay, even though some other guy could have gotten it for free. But you're not allowed to get it for free because it looks like ribis. The Mechaber in the first position says, in Darbo Kvar, if it already happened, Ein Tzarech Lases Lo, you don't have to give the money. It's only before the fact, as you're walking into the transaction, that you're supposed to be paying. And that's what the father in this case, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, said, that he would not continue to do this. The Rambam, on the other hand, the way the Mechaber understands it, is going to require some level of payment for the benefit, Lotzeis Yedei Shamayim, to satisfy one's requirement towards heaven, like more of an ethical, somewhat rabbinic type of concept. And according to that, they are medayik that the wording over here is Hilveyu Vidor Bachatzeiro. It sounds like you already were there in his yard. Tzarech Lahalos Loschar, you have to pay for it. It does sound, the Gra points out, like it already happened and you still have to pay. So we have two diyukim, two different approaches among the Rishonim. Keep in mind, though, as the Shach points out in Sifkatan Aleph, that this is referring to things that you normally would not be able to benefit from, and therefore people are going to attribute it to the fact that you lent him money. Factors include whether it's Befarhesya, if it's public. Factors include whether they were Yadua, well known, that they're Ohavim Ze'ezeh, they love each other. But if it's a situation where one could attribute the benefit to ribis, then indeed the situation, at least going into it, would have to be structured that payment is made so that it should not appear to be ribis. Yeshikoach, thank you for joining.